Today we're going to read some scripture here. I read this last night and spoke to her heart. We kind of got to thinking about some things, and we hope that the Lord would allow us, if he would, for us to just ponder once again on the thoughts that He gave us. It says in Jeremiah in the 33rd chapter, the 3rd verse, because it kind of goes along with that prayer. It says, call on me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, because of the upbringing I had, I had an understanding of who God was. I read the Bible many a times with my parents. We'd have family devotions, Mama and the children. You know, there's a lot of people that have no understanding whatsoever. That when they think of Jesus, they think of a curse word. They think of a word that's used on television and in the movies about when someone's angry, they call out His name as it were in anger. But I'm thankful that myself, that I had an understanding of who God was. But I want to tell you today though I had somewhat of an understanding, I'm thankful of the education I received by God Himself since He saved me. You know, it's like knowing someone but yet not really knowing them. How many of us got married and we didn't we thought we knew our wife and we did, but there was things that we never imagined about our wife, and still yet today sometimes we're still learning about just who our wife is. Well, that's the way it is with God, but greater. God has never surprised me. I heard a man once that he got married, and maybe we shouldn't even say this, but he got married, and there it was on his wedding night, and his wife took all off her makeup. She took her wig off. She took her fake eyelashes off, and she placed them all there in a drawer. And he said when it was all over with, he didn't know whether he ought to get in a drawer or he ought to get in bed with his wife. Why? Because there was so much that he thought was hers that really wasn't. But you know what? There's never been a time that God has revealed Himself to me that it was a surprise and a negative. But I can truly say that since I've been acquainted with God, that I can say beyond any shadow of any doubt, though there was times that Daryl didn't fully comprehend what, because of how God was, what it was going to mean for me, I'm thankful that since we can surrender to the Lord, if we seek His face, if we call out to Him as the Bible says, He will reveal to us who He is. It says in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse, and ye shall seek me and find me. Listen, the Constitution grants us the pursuit of happiness, but the Lord didn't say, seek me, and that would be what our life would consist of, simply to seek Him, as it were to be pursue happiness, but yet never finding it. But He said, seek me, and ye shall find me. When you have searched, or when ye shall search for me with all your heart, not a half-hearted searching here, not wanting to have Him, but yet wondering if we really want what we're looking for. But I'm talking about coming before God and saying, Lord, I've tried the world, and the world has left me empty. But God, what I need is you to fill that place that you put in every heart of every man and woman, which is to recognize God as the Creator. We find that the children of Israel, so many times, when they come together to bring praise to the Lord, they give Him credit for what He done, starting with the creation. Well, I'm glad I serve a God that is all powerful, that He was able to create this world and all that we have and all that we see within 6 days. So then, I want to tell you, what problem be a God that the God, the Creator of this world, cannot solve? Or He's spoken into existence when He said,
as he did. Let us make man. And when he did, and he created him in his own image, we can rejoice in knowing that God the Creator, who created us as beings and the world that we live in, is a God that's in control and has the answer to our troubles. Is there any here that's got an infirmity? I want to tell you, we serve a God that is the Creator of all and the healer of some. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And we as Christians, we should be very faithful to the spiritual discipline of prayer. I heard a man say once on the radio that we as Christians just sit back as Christians, and that's true. But simply pray and read God's Word. He said, but these are spiritual disciplines that every one of us ought to have. But he went on to say that what would be would be, and that we're not simply praying to God because he has told us to. Oh, listen to me. If God said in his Word to comb your hair, Daryl's going to comb his hair, and I don't care if it ends up being just peach fuzz. If God said it, I'm going to do it. But that's not the way it is with this with prayer. God didn't simply tell us to do it, so therefore we should do it. But that there is power in prayer. He said in the book of James, ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Listen, God has given us mankind a resource that can truly change the course of history. Now there's a lot of people that'll say, wait a minute, you ain't going to change nothing. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things going on in this world because the church hasn't asked for the wisdom of God. And if they would, and wise men instructed of God, I want to tell you, it'll change the world. You can believe what you will, but God said, if you lack for it, won't you ask? And I want to tell you, if you ask, he will give it to you. And you can rest assured it's going to change your life and a lot of lives of those around you. Well, right now, we read in Isaiah as well, it says, seek on the Lord why he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Listen to me. I've got some bulls for sale. And I want to tell you, in the market to buy a bull, I might tell you, you need to come and look at them now. Why, I've still got them. That's not what God's telling you here. He's not saying, seek on me. Because he has a limited resource, and only so many people can drink at the fountain. But his resources are unlimited. But what it speaks of is the frailty of man. But the Bible says that life is as a vapor. Think about it. You can date the stillest day. I've seen where the burning brush, and it's so still that you'll see the smoke, as it were, a finger going straight up. And though it will not be, though it would retire a space in the sky when the wind isn't blowing, it's amazing how soon it'll go as it seems to nothing. The Bible says our life is as a vapor, soon as the flowers of the field, the grass that withers. Oh, why then? Seek the Lord. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why wait for another? We can drink of the fountain of God today. We we can bask in His love today. Oh, why would we wait till tomorrow? For we have no promise of it. So then, it says, seek ye the Lord. Why may be found? Call upon Him. Oh, why He is near. So where does this God go? Listen, each man has a journey in life. And as he walks through that land, as it were, the valley of the shadow of death, those that are born again can fear no evil. But we're not the only ones on this journey through life. There are multitudes, millions upon millions, that are walking in the darkness without a lamp on their feet. And I declare to you today, seek Him while He still yet may be found. Seek Him for He is near. I can remember when I was just a kid. But the things that happened in my life, certain events, I brought certain people in my life, as any journey will. I can remember as a young teenager reading books about a quest. Maybe it was just even Christopher Columbus or somebody going out for the Crusades, going out with a mission. And all the people that they would come in contact with, just as it is today. We can walk into Walmart and we have no idea who we're going to meet there. But God does. And He brings people into our lives that will communicate to Him, to us, just how wonderful He is. Or yes, even how depraved mankind is. And there's points in our life that we feel a closeness to God. And no doubt it's because of those we find ourselves in the presence of. But I want to tell you, we need not take it for granted that tomorrow will be as today. Because not only does Daryl Hensley have no promise of tomorrow, my wife does it. My pastor does it. The lay members of this church don't. And I might just take it for granted that when Daryl needs someone to talk to, he can go to his earthly sister, Michelle. But she don't have no promise of tomorrow as well. Or my other sister, Laura. So then, today is the day of salvation. Listen, there are those that are here today that are longing to welcome in a soul to the family of God while the Lord is near. Yes, a drunkard, a lying in the gully, in a gutter somewhere, waking from his stupor and realizing he has no money in his pocket. Yes, the Lord will speak to him. I told that tall fellow at work. He's talking about somebody. We were talking about a gentleman that calls up sometimes. And I speculate maybe that he calls up sometimes when he's under the influence. And I was talking to a fellow at work about that. And he said, why would that be? I said, you know what? A lot of times all through life, we stifle our emotions. We stifle what the Lord is trying to tell us. And it takes a mind-altering state, such as alcohol, or some other drug, to not allow us to be so aware of the defense mechanism we've used all of our lives. When that still small voice comes and says, oh, you need me. Daryl, it's a surprise, he says. Oh, no, I don't. I'm doing all right. I've got a job. But my kids are healthy. And we begin to name off the blessings of God. His blessings have been bestowed on us because He is near unto us. I might just seek Him in those moments. But you know what? You can take that drunkard that'll say that. The way he's sitting there on the curb and he ain't got no money in his pocket. And he hears that still small voice. You need me. Oh, what is a man whose kids are at home crying? His wife, I am bad fear for him to come home. And not a penny in his pocket. What's he to say to that? Oh, sometimes, and sometimes the only time, someone hears that still small voice. It's in that hangover. Oh, listen, though. Call upon him, seek him this day while he's near. Because so are those times that though we hear that still small voice, it would be as if God were miles away, though he's at every man's heart's door. Oh, do you remember the devil telling you, when you first come to church, when you first come to a realization of just how undone you were? Can you remember that devil? That's the way the devil is. He'll tell you, you don't need God, you don't need God, you don't need God. And when the Holy Spirit begins to show you and it finally shouts out your name, and you say, oh, God, I need you. And then the devil turns, hey, that's what, and we don't have to worry about the truth, do we? The truth's the same every time, it's an old story, it's the same pain, that's just the way the truth is. But the devil that's been telling you, you don't need him, you don't need him, but when you finally, the Holy Spirit communicates to you how undone you are, the devil changes his story, and he says, you're too wicked, you're too undone, you'll never make a Christian. Well, what is it? Either we don't need him or we do. But I declare to you today, there's not been a man walk that's walked the earth that didn't need Jesus, save but Jesus himself. Oh, why? Because man, though he was created in the image of God, sin entered into his heart, and he became a wretched creature, fit for the pits of hell, that God himself created. The Bible said, for the devil and his angels, we know that God knew who Satan was, and he knew who his angels were, because the Bible teaches us that he cast them from heaven, and he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, why? Because there are those in darkness walking to and fro that has not the light of God. But yeah, Satan rises on the scene, and we find out that he is a persuader of men. The Bible says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are you a persuader for God? Are you as convincing as the devil and his children? How many have come on the law of misery and God has kept me? Come on, we're going to the bar after work. Come on, we'll have fun. And we follow as a lamb for the slaughter. Oh, why? Because deep down inside of us, we're trying to feel that emptiness that God himself is the only thing can feel. So then, we go and we enter. In our regret, we wish we hadn't. But the Bible says not to wait for tomorrow, but to seek him while you may yet find him today, while he's speaking to our hearts. We've read it already, but we can read it again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Have you ever seen a child? You know, parents are to make the decisions so many times for the children. Not only because they're not responsible enough, but because they just don't have the capacity to reason between a decision that they might need to make sometimes. It's not that they're just irresponsible. It's that they don't have comprehension a lot of times of the choices that lie ahead of them.
We've mentioned this time and time again. I can remember my mama, she kept kids, and there was one woman that worked at McDonald's, and her husband worked for the railroad. It was whoever got off of work first come and pick the kids up. But because it was before the times of cell phones, because of that, sometimes both parents would show up there. And I can remember the mother, I think there was two children, there might have been three, but I believe there was just two. And I can remember that the one of their children always wanted to ride with their mama and their daddy. Well, that's not a problem if their mama and their daddy is riding in the same vehicle, but they come in separate vehicles, and there she'd be. And because she'd want to ride with her mama, and she would commit to that and say, all right, I'm going to ride with you, mama. And then she'd look at her daddy, and she'd say, no, I'm going to ride with him. Well, honey, you got to make up your mind. Were you going to ride with me? Are you going to ride? And it would go on. As a kid, looking back, I think it would go on for about 15 minutes or more because they'd get to talking again, and the girl didn't make her decision. They'd get to talking to my mama. One of them, usually the woman, if I remember correctly, she likes staying. You know how it is when it's tired after work and you sit down. You don't want to get back up. And the kid would be left there knowing that she's got some more power. Wasn't that okay? Mama's going to sit there and talk a while. I better make my decision up now. All right, I'm going with Daddy. But she'd stand there. She'd think, well, I don't have to make a decision yet. And he'd go a piece. And the mama said, well, who you going to ride with? And she'd, well, I don't know. And I would just be in there as a young teenager. Why don't she swatter on the bottom and tell her? Why? Because so many times that's what a kid wants, ain't it? But listen, God has gave us a choice. And we might postpone that. We might say, well, I'm not going to choose today. I'm not going to choose today. I'm waiting for the last minute. But I want to tell you, if we choose the Lord first and fully commit ourselves to Him, we can be on our way. Happy for me. For the Bible says multitudes, multitudes. And the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is nigh. And the valley of decision. That's a miserable place to be. Just get on the road for Jesus. You're wasting your life. How long will you haul between two opinions? Look to God. And you can find Him. And He's there to soothe the hurts of a misspent life. I've often wondered where Daddy or where Daryl be. We heard it on the television, on the news program. And somebody wrote me, we said we ought to mention this in Sunday school. Somebody wrote in, and they had, I can't remember his name right now, I'll think of it later, but he's affiliated with the Southern Baptist, and he was talking on this news program, and he was speaking about some presidential candidates that had cheated on their wives, been married several times, and he was basically making the simple observation, that is truly true, it don't matter whether you believe what the Bible says about marriage or not. That is, if you lie to your wife, the one that you have promised to live with for the rest of your life, well, if you lie to her, how can you believe anything he says? Well, somebody, and I'm thinking maybe an adulterer, a wife cheater maybe, wrote in and didn't like that. Well, what are you saying? Just because I have a woman on the side, I want to rob a bank? That ain't what he's saying at all. But he's saying you're self-serving. That is all you're worried about. It's your pleasure. And not keeping your word. Stand a good chance. Then you're back in the corner. And you're going to take the easy way out. And it ain't only adulterers that do that. But because they have cheated on them, it's speaks of their character. If somebody wrote in and said, that in essence, that this was a self-righteous man, that he cast a shadow on all Christians, kind of make you allude to the fact that he was a Christian himself. And he said, after all, I would love for either one of them, it don't matter, I have anything to do, how many times they cheated. And he said, after all, of a man, the only one that's ever walked on this earth without sin, that been dead for 2,000 years, the tears welled up in my eyes. And I said, not so, Riley, as I looked at him and Levi. I said, he died 2,000 years ago, but he's alive. I'm here today with my wife and my children because he's alive and alive forevermore. And he's come into my heart. He was perfect and walked this world and died for me and you. But I serve not a dead Savior. I serve a risen King, Lord of God. The one that will live in my heart's a man. And he wants to do it today. Well, let's get some song to sing. Aren't you glad? Though we was born into sin, there was a way made, glory to God, for me and you. Don't you want to come and drink of the water of life? It's without a price. What's that mean? Listen, if you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy it. But it was given to me and you freely, so that, well, we would be blind, a cripple, not even have the hands to bring it to our mouth. But God said, I will give you a fountain that will spring forth in your heart forevermore. Don't you want to experience that? Well, then when?
Go ahead.
So when? Today? Tomorrow? Oh, we could wait a year. But the Lord said, seek him while he may yet be found. While he's near. Do you want to come? Do you want to experience what the Lord has for you? If it was possible to take your riches with you to the grave, we know how futile that is. There's been people that's been born, or died rather, and been buried with great possessions. We know the kings of Egypt, and we know that they took their family members into their tombs at their death because they died. All of those that they thought in their twisted way was dear to them died as well. But we know that any riches that we have, we cannot take. But yeah, if it were possible, what value would it be? Or if we're a Christian, number one, we wouldn't be so enwrapped in those things. But for the sake of the discussion, what would we do to him? The Bible speaks of pure gold. All the gold that we have is not pure at all. I think that it would truly, up against that pure, perfect gold in heaven, would look like tin. But at the best, look like unpolished brass. But if we've lived a life misspent without God, and he was able to take it with us, what could it buy us in hell? You can take the richest man that there's ever been on the face of this earth, and I don't know who that would be. I know they say possibly, I don't know, I know Bill Gates has a lot of money now, but you can take the richest person in the world today, and that's not to say that he's the richest person that's ever been on the face of this earth. But if they were so foolish as to live their whole life and think they need not Jesus, and go to hell and had access to all of that, they were traded away for 5 seconds. If it could but buy them 5 seconds from that place. But see, to think on that, we just can't even fathom it. Because it would be worth nothing. It's only worth something when we're alive, right? We know that people would trade their fortunes to get one more day to live in this life if they knew what was awaiting them. So then to be there and have all those riches, it would be no different than to have a moth-eaten burlap bag full of holes and empty, because it could find you nothing. Oh, we see it just drive through some of the neighborhoods in town. You see how people are so desperately trying to chase what they would call the American dream. And really what they want is true, lasting happiness. And they'll never obtain it in the possessions they have. It might satisfy them for a while, but at the end of a misspent life, it's just something their kids will have to fight over.